I call this receiving and giving inspiration. Being the recipient of inspiration, like how do you attract inspiration into your life? And also, how do I become a provider of inspiration to other people around me? Both of which we want to do. We want to be inspired and we want to inspire others. So I'm just going to kind of give you an example of what I mean. I'd like you to think of the person or the people in your life who are the most troublesome, the most difficult, the troublemakers, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the ones who just won't fit in, the ones you can't reach, the ones at work that you can't seem to get along with, the family members who disobey all the rules and seem to be obstinate and uncaring and insensitive and painful to be around, and people who you love but you don't know how to be with them, and you want to be with them and you want to be away from them, and they cause you a lot of pain, a lot of struggle. Everybody's got people like this in their life. You may be one of those people to other people. But I'd like you to think of that person, who that person is, and see if you can relate to what I'm about to share with you. There's a tribe in the northern part of South Africa, up near Zimbabwe, called the Bamembas. And in the Bamemba tribe, they have a ritual and a practice. And it was written about in a journal that I read by Peace Pilgrim. Peace Pilgrim was a woman who walked all across the country just talking about peace. No one even knew her name. She never revealed her name. White-haired lady in her 70s, maybe 80s. And wherever she would go, she would just wear tennis shoes and just a shirt on that said Peace Pilgrim, and she would talk at the church, or she'd talk at a fire station, or wherever anybody would listen, and she'd just talk about peace. She designated her entire life to this, the last 20 years or so of her life. You may have heard about her. I believe there's a website about her. She was killed walking along the highway 10, 15 years ago, and I remember I was very influenced by her when she was alive. And she was killed by an automobile that didn't see her when she was walking. And she died the way that she lived, just talking about what she believed in. In her journal, she writes about the Bamemba tribe. Now, I'd like you to think of this tribe as you think about the person or who needs to be inspired, the person who you would like to inspire or would like to be a source of inspiration to you, but can't be because they're so troubled and so having such a difficult time. In the Bamemba tribe, when a person acts irresponsibly or unjustly, he or she is placed in the center of the village, alone and unfettered. All work ceases. The entire village gathers around the accused individual. Then each person of every age begins to talk out loud to the accused. One at a time, each person tells all the good things that the one in the center ever did in his or her lifetime. Every incident, every experience that can be recalled with any detail and accuracy is recounted. All positive attributes, good deeds, strengths, and acts of kindness are recited carefully and at length. No one is permitted to fabricate, to exaggerate, or to be facetious about the accomplishments or the positive aspects of the accused person. The tribal ceremony often lasts several days, not ceasing until everyone is drained of every positive comment that can be mustered. At the end, the tribal circle is broken, a joyous celebration takes place, and the person is symbolically welcomed back into the tribe. The necessity for such ceremonies is rare. It only occurs once in every 4 or 5 years. Okay? So that's how the Bamembas handle people who are insolent and difficult and out of touch. Now I'd like to recount in my own life, in my own family, and I've been given permission to do this by my daughter. I have six daughters, as many of you know, and two sons. And one of my daughters got off on a very destructive path in her life for some reason. She was the only one of eight who made a decision that she was going to get involved with drugs and as a young teenager, and to stay out late despite the fact that we were opposed to that, and to be insolent and to use language that was not language that she was accustomed to hearing at home. She was troubled doing every kind of substance that she could think of, not coming home sometimes. And my wife and I used every effort that we possibly knew and everything that we could do to try to reach her, and nothing seemed to work. She just seemed to go deeper and deeper into her addictions and into her behavior. Weekends were a very, very tough time. I used to just dread the weekend coming because I knew that Friday night, if she did come home, it would be she would be out of control. And sometimes she didn't come home, and she wouldn't answer phones, and we couldn't find her, and we go out looking for her, and on and on and on. This kind of behavior went on for quite a period of time, despite, when I would tell you, as many efforts as I possibly could think of and my wife could think of to reach her through therapy, through programs of any kind, through having conversations with her, whatever it is that we could do. And nothing seemed to be working. As a matter of fact, it got worse and worse and worse. Her addictions grew, and her separation and estrangement from us was intensifying and getting worse. Angry all the time. So one of the things that I did in my great wisdom was I called a family meeting and had all of the brothers and sisters and everybody that I could gather in the family together, and we had a meeting. And my daughter was placed in the center of this circle. And what we did was to each of us to tell her how her behavior was affecting us. The younger brothers and sisters cried and told them how unhappy they were and how worried they were and how frightened that something was going to happen or that she was going to die or that she would have an overdose or something. And my wife was crying and I was crying, telling her about how difficult it was and how we couldn't sleep and how I was worried about my health and your mom's health. And And on went this sort of litany of everybody in the family telling her what her impact was having on the rest of us. And we all thought, and I did too, that this was quite a long time ago, that that we had reached her, you know? Everybody told her the truth, and everybody cried, and everybody hugged, and that night she went out and got stoned. Which is what I would want to do too if I had heard what she had to endure for a couple of hours about how terrible she was and about how what an impact she was having on all of us and how everybody was crying and sad and all of these things.